I'm Rodney Williams.
And I'm Travis Holloway. Welcome to The Wealth Break.
Let's be honest. Building wealth doesn't look the same for everyone. It's not just about saving. It's about investing. It's about navigating systems that weren't built for you, embracing your hustle, and relying on your community to create something bigger.
And that's exactly why we created The Wealth Break. We made something different, something more human. It's not just another financial podcast. It's a conversation about real life, real struggles, and real wins.
We're here to talk about the journey. You're here from people who've broken barriers, found creative ways to succeed, and learned to build wealth on their terms. Whether it's the first-time homeowner, a gig worker, or someone turning a side hustle into a six-figure business, we're bringing you their stories.
And we're not stopping at success stories. We're breaking down the realities, like what it means to take risk, how to navigate failure, and why resilience matters. Because wealth isn't about money. It's about creating a life where you can thrive and help others to do the same.
So if you're ready for a podcast as much as about people as it is about money, you're in the right place.
Listen to The Wealth Break podcast on the iHeartRadio app.
This is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
Hotel Mars. David Livingston is here, Dr. Space himself of the Space Show. And we're off to Israel to welcome Amir Noteya, who is going to guide us through the achievements so far of Israel in real space. The Earth-Moon system right now is the conversation. And future space. Amir is very much a booster of aerospace. The website to look for information is bhag.space, bhag.space. Amir, a very good evening to you. First, I came across Israeli space expedition was an adventure called Bereshit that suddenly was going to land on the moon. I thought, what? What is this? Israel's going to the moon? What was Bereshit? What was the mission and who made it? Good evening to you.
Good evening. The mission was to get to the moon, pretty much. That was the mission. It was not a specific commercial goal. It was to win the X Prize, the Lunar X Prize. And a few Israeli guys sat together in a bar and decided to do it without knowing what it means, which is very lucky, because if they knew what it means, they would not have started it. Over quite a few years, they created an organization around the idea, a nonprofit, and it ended up reaching the moon. Not quite as expected, not landing softly, but it reached the moon.
So what we talk about is a bunch of guys meet and say, like the Hardy Boys, let's build an airplane and fly to Mars. That's the way it was? A conversation that turned into a moon landing?
It was pretty much something like that, but it was prompted by the Lunar X Prize, which was created in order to create missions to the moon by non-governmental entities. It was envisioned mostly for commercial entities, but Bereshit was created by SpaceIL, which was a non-profit created specifically for that mission.
They created a booster. They created this the command and control. They created a lander. They put all that together?
No, they created just the lander. They were launched. Actually, I should say we were launched because I was involved in it. The lander was launched by SpaceX on a Falcon 9.
Wonderful. David, you have a question.
Yes. Hi, Amir. Hi. Tell us what Bereshit actually means in English, and did it have any kind of a commercial or payload on it?
The first book in the Torah, and the meaning is in the beginning. It did not have any commercial payload. It had a scientific payload. It had several image-taking cameras. And that was the main payload.
The landing on the moon, it's been called in, I read, a washing machine. The landing on the moon was to express joy, to show that we could do it. Now, in order to land on the moon or Mars, because there have been many accidents, you've got to have a very good information flow, how close you are, where you're going to set down. There's some rocky bits and there's some craters. So was that all part of your command and control? How those last feet are the big ones. You know, it's days of boredom and then moments of excitement.
Right, excitement or terror or whatever. And actually, we did not get a lot of boredom because there were quite a few problems on the way as well. And the trip to the moon took 7 weeks or so because we took the long way around, which is cheaper in terms of energy. And since it was not manned, there was no problem extending the path to the moon. And regarding your question about the information about the moon, we had a lot of information from NASA, from the LRO, the Lunar Reconnaissance Orbiter, and the landing site was very carefully selected, and we knew very long in advance where the landing site is. And the whole trip and the whole landing was planned ahead of time. But the machine itself, the spacecraft itself, had to be autonomous in its landing. Even though there was a way to control it, the control could not be done quickly enough. It had to be autonomous.
David?
There were reports that at the last there was some kind of computer glitch that caused it to crash on the moon rather than land. Can you talk about exactly what happened in that process?
Yeah, it's a pretty long story. You know, aeronautics problems, disasters, are often a long chain of problems. It's not just one problem. It's a long chain of problems that if any one or two of them were resolved correctly, the problem or the disaster would have been averted. Ultimately, one of the sensors decided to turn itself off. And then somebody decided to turn it on again. It was decided to turn it on again. And that created a cascade of problems, many of them known in advance, but still. And the cascade of problems created a situation where the engine could not be restarted, and we crashed.
That means you reached the moon. It crashed, so it's there forever.
We have reached the moon, indeed. We have reached the moon. We created a footprint much larger than we intended, but we have reached the moon.
And it's there for the Smithsonian to gather up and put in the Smithsonian on Mars, I understand. Now, what did you learn from this episode of Bereshit that you're going to do it again? What are your memories, and what do you take with you to the next mission?
Well, first of all, on the emotional end of it, it was an amazing experience because, you know, you walk around the corridors and people look each other in the eye and say, this is not happening, right? Because you end up talking about gravitation and solar wind and all sorts of things that are the stuff of science fiction. Except we did it in reality. And of course, technically, we learned a lot. Everybody learned a lot because it's a very, very complicated project. I think in terms of system engineering, the system engineering department learned a few things they wanted to do differently in the next iteration. I guess one of the things that we learned that it's even more dangerous than we thought to have anything be developed, especially for this mission. And we need to rely on commercial off the shelves as much as possible. That was one lesson. And I cannot say what all the lessons are because the Bereshit 2 hasn't been completed yet.
All right, let's go to Beersheet 2 then. David Livingston, Dr. Space of The Space Show, introduces me to Amir Nurteia, who participated in Beersheba 1, which landed on the moon. Landed and is there until it's gathered up as a memorial to guys in a bar talking, let's go to the moon. When we come back, guys are still talking. They're going back to the moon. This is Hotel Mars Episode N. I'm John Batchelor.
I'm Rodney Williams.
And I'm Travis Holloway. Welcome to the Wealth Break Podcast, a real conversation about finance.
Let's be honest. Building wealth doesn't look the same for everyone.
I feel like sometimes being broke is a cycle and that we might have to revisit that.
And we're not stopping at success stories.
What happens when it doesn't go right? How do you cope with it?
Because wealth isn't just about money. It's about creating a life where you thrive and help others do the same.
Listen to the Wealth Break Podcast on the iHeartRadio app.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
Life with CIDP can be tough, but the Thrive Team, a specialized squad of experts, helps people living with CIDP make more room in their lives for joy. Watch Rare, Well Done.
An all-new reality series, Rare, Well Done, offers help and hope to people across the country who live with the rare disease CIDP. Watch the latest episode now, exclusively on RareWellDone.com.